Here is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
So John chapter 1, it's on page 748. So starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thanks, Andrew. Let's pray for God's help. Father, we know that spiritual things are discerned spiritually, and therefore we pray for the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and minds as we look at your word, as we consider the great message of the incarnation, Christ come into the world. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. A woman was preparing a Sunday lunch. It was a leg of lamb, and she was about to slice it in half when she found herself thinking, why do I do this? Every time she cooked a lamb joint, she would slice it and saw the leg in half. It had been done in her family for years. She remembered her mum doing it as she was growing up, and it had become a family habit. The lamb for Sunday lunch would be sliced before going to the pan for roasting. Perhaps it had something to do with the taste, the cooking benefits. She asked her mum. Her mum didn't know, and only remembered it was what her mum had taught her when she was young. And she'd done it ever since. The granny was still alive, but in a nursing home, so she resolved to ask her on the next visit and proceeded to cut up the lamb joint as she'd always done for countless meals beforehand, out of habit. The time came, the question came up, and in a moment of lucidity, the grand old woman said, "There's really nothing special about it. It's nothing to do with the taste. It's not about the thickness of the meat or anything else. It's simply because the joints we had were mostly too big for the pan." How many of us do things out of habit without really knowing why we do them? I'd say most of us do in one area or another. There are lots of areas where it doesn't matter. Routine habits, morning or evening. But there are other habits where it does. And many miss the joy of Christmas because it's become a habit. Does it not feel like Christmas has come round only 2 months since last Christmas? I feel that. There's the tinsel, the tree, the cards, the family visit, the presents, Father Christmas, school plays, turkey and Brussels sprouts, most of which are good, wholesome fun, but rarely any more than that. We're seeking to pop that bubble this morning with a few words and give us each a chance to stop and think the why question about Christmas. You may be able to suggest why you think lots of other people celebrate Christmas. It's about Jesus, isn't it? This is the day the world celebrates the birth of a baby who people believe was God come into the world. But when asked the personal question, Why do you celebrate Christmas? Isn't the best answer you might come up with, well, it's just out of habit, or for the children, or because we always have? Well, Christmas is a time of joy and goodwill and delighting in the age-old story of Jesus' birth. However, there are a number of facts that don't make sense and are surprising. They don't fit the way the world works. I want to look at a few of those fresh this morning. I'll put them up, and the first is, a virgin gave birth. A virgin gave birth. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah foretold this. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. And we learn from Luke, that word means God with us. The virgin will give birth to a boy who will be God with us. God chose something that was beyond human possibilities to signify the coming into the world of the promised Messiah. He simply shortcut the normal, natural beauty of bringing children into the world because this baby was more than a mere man. Jesus was born of both a human and of God. A virgin gave birth. Second, God became man. When the mayor of Chicago spent the day dressed as a tramp, living with vagrants, the Chicago Tribune described the event as the world's greatest stoop. Come down. The editors were wrong. Long ago, the Holy God condescended to live as man. God had every right and every reason to wash his hands of the world, and instead, he loved it. Especially the people who lived here. He left the wonders of heaven to come to the miseries of the world. What a stoop that was. God was big enough to become small, strong enough to become weak. The infinitesimally small fetus, miraculously implanted in the womb of Mary 9 months earlier, was Almighty God coming into the world in the person of Jesus. God became a man. Deity became as lowly as dust. The Creator became like one of us. Jesus was fully human. He had a body, he had feelings, he had emotions. Yet the incarnate Christ was fully God at the same time. Absolutely sinless, having all power and knowing all things. There's a story I read this week of a postman whose wife had been killed in a car crash a couple of months before. He was sorting through the lost mail at the local post office and redirecting whatever parcels he could. The postman opened one letter addressed to Santa Claus. He noticed the address at the top of the letter was his own. Looking at the bottom of the letter, he saw his only daughter's signature. The letter read, "Dear Santa, my mummy died 2 months ago, and since then my daddy has been crying each night. He says that only eternity will heal him. Please send him a little bit of eternity this Christmas." Now, God has sent not just a little bit of eternity, but the very heart of heaven into this world. The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. The greatest giver has sent the greatest gift to the people who greatly rebelled against him. It's a major theme of the Bible that Jesus is the only one who can rescue us from all that's wrong in the world. In the Old Testament, as we've read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. "We have seen his glory," said John, "the glory of the one and only, coming full of grace and truth." And later in John's gospel, he writes, "For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God, able to deal with all the world's wrong and our sin." Christ was rightly called Emmanuel, God with us. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Paul wrote, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. The virgin gave birth. God became a man. Christ was born to die. Jesus Christ is the only person who ever chose to be born. He's also the only person who ever chose to die. A suicide is a tragedy of someone who chooses when they will die, not whether they will or not. Christ, who need never have died, deliberately laid down his life for all of us. The God-man was born to die. There's a cartoon drawing portraying Santa telling a child the Christmas story. It has the boy asking Santa, how did it all end? How did it all end? And in the background, there is a picture of the cross. Hanging on a cross, age 33, Jesus cried out, it is finished. He accomplished all the work he came to do. Dying, he bore in his body the sin of us all. The greatest act that Jesus did wasn't to heal the sick or feed the thousands or still the storm, but to die on the cross, carrying our guilt and shame. To fully understand the Christmas story, we've got to go beyond the crib to the cross. The angel said to Joseph, call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. In paying the punishment for the wrong of which we're all guilty, Christ died. And he did so to save us. An Italian couple recently gave birth to a son. This boy was born to save his brother who needed a matching bone marrow transplant. And wonderfully, both children lived. Christ was born, but he had to die to save us. A virgin gave birth, God became a man, Christ was born to die. Christ left heaven to come to earth, so that when we leave earth, we may go to heaven. He left heaven to come to earth, so that when we leave earth, we may go to heaven. Although he was destined to die, after 3 days he rose from the dead, conquering the grave. And that means death is not the end of our experience and our existence. The Bible teaches that there is both a heaven to be gained and a hell to be avoided. The only way to be certain of heaven is to trust Christ to forgive us the sin that separates us from God and would otherwise condemn us to hell. Our sin would keep us from everlasting life, but Christ died that our sins might be forgiven. We must respond in repentance and faith if we're to benefit from the rescue he's engineered for us. In May 1987, 39 American seamen were killed in the Persian Gulf when an Iraqi pilot missiled their ship, the USS Stark. Newspapers carried a picture of the son of one of the seamen who died, 5-year-old John Kaiser. He was standing with his hand on his heart next to his mum as his father's coffin was loaded onto a plane. His mother said, I don't have to wear black because I know my husband is with his Lord in heaven. I can be happy now. I know he is better off. Later on, she and young John sent a letter and an Arabic New Testament to the pilot of that Iraqi plane addressed to the men who attacked the Stark dad's ship in the hope that it'll show that even the son and the wife do not hold any grudge and are at the same time praying for the one who took the life of our father. In life and death, Christ the Lord is a savior from sin and its consequences. God wants us to have the same certainty and eternal joy that Mrs. Kaiser had about her husband. We can be sure of heaven. We can be sure of heaven. Not because we deserve it, but because the Son came to bring us into an everlasting relationship with the Father. A virgin gave birth, God became a man, Christ was born to die. We can be sure of heaven. And yet millions exclude Jesus from his own birthday. How strange to leave out the guest of honour. Surely we shouldn't leave Christ out of the Christmas party. Yet it was always the same. When Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem, they were told that there was no room at the inn. If they'd arrived at an inn today, what would they find? The bar crowded, the restaurant packed, crackers going off, turkey being eaten. No room. However, then and now, as people banquet, drink, and laugh and celebrate, they often inadvertently squeeze out the person for whom these festivities were intended. Are we doing that? Or is Christ dwelling in your home and in your heart every day? Well, if not, then we need to trust him as Saviour and Lord. Ask him to forgive you and take control of your life. Shepherds and wise men came during the first Christmas season. We need to come to him the same today. The mystery of Christ's coming can work the miracle of Christian conversion for anyone who asks for that new life. As we remember the incarnation, Christ coming, we need to pray. We need to pray for God's help that he'd equip us to live for him in right response, repentance, and faith. Perhaps these are words you might want to echo if you're believing this for the first time. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Thank you for coming to earth that first Christmas to save people like me. Thank you for dying for me and rising from the dead. Please forgive me and be my Saviour and Lord. Help me daily to live for you. Amen.